Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Pastor of Reunion Church in Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. He'll take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, challenge, and encouragement. And in today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Of course, you can always listen to, download, and share this or any talk anytime on the website, richardellistalks.com. Then at the end of today's program, Pastor Richard himself will share an urgent need with you about the future of Richard Ellis Talks as we simply try to keep the lights on and continue to be a light of hope. So let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Muckety Mucks, and I'll give you the definition of that in a minute. Let me read you a few things here. Things found only in America. Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions while healthy people can buy cigarettes at the front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do banks leave both doors to the vault open and then chain the pens to the counters. Only in America do we use the word politics to describe the process so well. Poly, in Latin meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. And then my next thing, with the economy tough, maybe you're out of work or about to be out of work and looking for a job. Here's my question. Would you work for this company? This company has a little more than 500 employees and has the following statistics. 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud, 19 have been accused of writing bad checks, 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses, 3 have done time for assault, 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit, 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges, 8 have been arrested for shoplifting, 21 are currently defendants in lawsuits, and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving, I think, in the last year. Can you guess what organization this is? It's the 535 members of the United States Congress, the same group that cranks out hundreds of new laws each year designed to keep the rest of us in line. Muckety mucks. I think sometimes as Christians we have this idea that if we could just elect people, if we just get the right people in office, everything would be okay. We'd fix everything, right? And usually about half of our country votes one way and we get one guy and think, that's it, boy, we got it figured out now. And then about 4 to 8 years later, it swings and we vote the next, and the other half's happy, boy, we figured it out now. And you know what? We're still just as screwed up as we were the 4, the 8, the 16 years before. Because muckety mucks in some place, big cheese, big enchiladas, big dogs, these people someplace out there can't fix what we have trouble even fixing in our own hearts. And every 4 years, 8 years, even I get all stirred up over issues like abortion and think if we don't have the right person in the office, it'll all fall apart. You know what? It's not changing that much no matter who's in office because it's really not about one person as it is about individual people, us, who struggle with fixing our own little lives. Daniel Webster said this, if we and our posterity reject religious instruction and authority, violate the rules of eternal justice, trifle with the injunctions of morality, and recklessly destroy the political constitution which holds us together, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us that shall bury all our glory in profound obscurity. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, Old Testament. I'll jump in here at verse 1. I'm going to read you a little bit and still try to go left to right. So if you're not real familiar with the Bible, that's okay. We like having those people too. Jeremiah 29. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captives from Jerusalem to Babylon. These are God's people in a very bad place in Babylon, way away from where they're supposed to be. And part of what got them there is their sin and their rebellion against God. Go down to verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is God saying, I brought this about. But this is the instruction that he gives them there in that place. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminished. and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. And this whole concept where I'm going today is this. Like I said earlier, half the country is usually upset over somebody that gets elected. And without going off on this too much, whenever an election happens, whether I'm happy with the outcome or not, let me tell you what I am happy with. I am a Christian first, I'm an American second. And I've lived overseas, and when I'm at a ball game, when I'm anywhere on the planet, and that flag goes up and people start to sing that song, I put my hand over my heart, and I'm telling you, I cannot stand the disrespect nowadays that goes with not at least showing some respect for that flag. I am a Christian first, but I am also an American. And no matter who marches in a State of the Union address, when that guy calls out, Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States of America, I don't care who he is. I respect the office, whether I respect the man or not. And I'm going to say it straight up front now. You better have some respect for authority, because people who go around bad-mouthing presidents, no matter who they are, demonstrate a lack of respect for authority for God himself, because God puts these people in place. Okay? So back to Jeremiah. He says, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. So even if you're captive in a city, seek the peace of that city and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed. And if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, I understand it was written for these people in captivity. But the same, this is how God feels about his people. Just read this with me. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, meaning Jerusalem. And this is what God says he thinks about him. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God saying, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, let me say this up front before I read too many more verses. Stop putting all of your faith in some politician, in some powerful person, and start seeking after the Lord. If people spent a fraction of the time they spend yakking about who got elected or not, and spent that time praying for the people that got elected like the book says to, maybe our country would change. Because in the process of our praying for these people, God has a way of changing us whether they get changed or not. And the way to change a country is not to change a president or a Congress all the time. They can only do so much. You want to change a country? Change the individual people who make up the country. Forget changing you. I can barely change me. I got my own struggles. So it's easy to go wag at my finger at all these evil things they're doing. You know what? If you knew what was going on in my head and my heart, you'd fire my butt. And I'm not open to disclosing any of that either, so. Go to Daniel chapter 4. We went through this the other day a little bit, and I'm going to go back to this because it's such an amazing demonstration of what is possible. And the reason I go to this is because we lose sight of who God is. In Daniel, God was dealing, God himself, the God of the universe that we worship, the same God, was dealing personally with pagan kings in pagan countries that had no regard for God. They were powerful, warmongering, just crazy people, as it seems, but God would just interject himself into history and speak personally and cause crazy stuff to happen to these guys to get their attention. Do not lose sight of this fact. No matter who ends up in a White House or some palace someplace, God is still capable of changing one man's heart. And you say, well, what about abortion? Well, obviously the wrong guy got elected and he's the most liberal, this and that. Let me tell you something. You see handwriting on the wall someplace and God speaks to you, your whole life changes. Begin to pray for that. Don't pray against that. Pray for the peace of your city, the peace of your country, and for these people. And I'll give you verses to back all this up in a minute. But look what is possible. Go to Daniel chapter 4. Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. This is Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king, giving his testimony. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. That sounds like a believer to me. And then he goes on and describes this dream that he has. And Daniel comes and interprets the dream and jump down to verse 23. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it. This is part of the interpretation of this dream. But leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you until what? Till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. What is supposed to be going on in our lives? In terms of leadership, in terms of presidents, in terms of these people, do not participate in these devouring things. When this election came up, the most recent one, some people started, what's going this way, that? I said, you know what? Our responsibility is to pray for this person and these people that are elected, period. There is no place for this. You say, well, I'm frustrated, I'm discouraged, whichever time of the process you're in. Somebody's always frustrated. Pray. Because these leaders, they go to sleep usually on pillows just like we do, and they are confronted with huge pressures. And sooner or later, unless you are just a completely godless person, or God chooses, in the case of these Babylonian kings, to say, you know what? No more. You're affecting my people now. He can jump in the mix and do whatever he wants to do. We're dealing with a God who can harden a Pharaoh's heart and soften a Pharaoh's heart. And when we lose sight of the fact that God can change a president and his heart and his direction, then we might as well give up on everybody else too, including us. Because if he can't change him, he can't change me. And you say, well, I'm an American. If you're so American, then pray for your president, no matter who he is, that God will do something extraordinary in our country. Verse 26, keep reading with me. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Keep reading. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesties? Be careful with your pronouns. Too many me's and my's. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. Now, you think about this, and I don't think we hear everything that goes on. The God of heaven can speak directly to a human being, and he did it here. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. In that very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Now that's a king talking about another king. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. You let God worry about what he does and doesn't do. You pray. That's what you're told to do. We're not told to judge. We're not told to criticize. We are told to pray. Then get in your closet and pray. Proverbs 21:1 says this, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." We get all freaked. Well, what if God doesn't do something? You know what? That's really not your problem. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, and he's not lost control. Seneca, the Roman philosopher in the mid-first century, said this, "Every rain must submit to a greater rain." And you either submit to God's authority or you don't. And part of our deciding whether we submit to God's authority is doing what the scripture says, and it's to submit to those who are in authority over us. Go to Romans 13. And we're almost done. Romans 13. Lest you think this is just some Old Testament passé thing that doesn't exist or apply anymore. Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." You say, well, was that written to a Christian nation? No, these people lived in Rome, the most jacked up place on the planet. Talk about crazy rulers, and yet God's saying, I put them there. When I know that I am under God's authority, and that God has put people in authority over me, to protect me. You say, but not all governments in the world are geared that way. You know what? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. It just says pray and be subject to those authorities. There has to be order. There has to be structure. Thank God for it and pray for those people. 1 Timothy 2, last little few verses. And this kind of gives you some of the answers. And this is Paul writing to a guy that he spiritually had been raising along the way. And this is one man giving advice to another man about how to lead, what kind of leader to be, and then this information gets to us. But this is a man writing to another man. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then he gives starts where you start. "For kings and all who are in authority." Why? "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." Now, if it stopped there, you'd go, wow, okay, well, maybe that makes sense. And I don't want to minimize this little phrase in verse 1, "and giving of thanks be made for all men." Let me tell you how you know when you've made it in this praying for somebody. When you can say this, "Father, I thank you that president, whoever you fill in the blank, is our president and our leader, and I pray that you will bless him and give him wisdom and guidance. And if his heart is off, that you would change his heart and that we would stop relying on lobbyists." You know what? Lobbyists and all these special interest groups cannot trump God himself. I have been in a room in my life as a teenage boy when I knew for a fact the God of the universe had come into the room and his presence was there with me. I don't talk about this a lot, but I knew I was not alone in that room and I was alone in that room. When you pray and ask God to intervene, God can walk in an Oval Office. There is no security stopping God. He needs no security clearance. While someone sleeps on their pillow dreams, you just need to pray, "Father, your will be done, and let's stop worrying about all these other things we don't have any control over and ask God to start with us. Change my heart first." So again, 1 Timothy 2:1, "I exhort supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved." Now, whoa, where's he going? First of all, let's pray for everybody, kings, and then he goes down the line, and then it jumps to some completely thing. You think, well, this is something different. No, it's all in the same passage. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Why? "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And then he gets to the point. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. He says, you know what? Pray for all those people. But the bottom line is, there is only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and men, and that's Christ Jesus. The answer is not some president. The answer is Jesus. And if we would just get back to telling people about him and living a Christian life, you can change a whole nation with just a little bit of that. Repentance has to start in individual hearts and individual lives. Stop looking to some one person out there to change everything unless that one person is Jesus himself. Then something will change. If you're looking for a muckety-muck to follow, it's Jesus. Because God has given him a name that it's above every name. And there's a day coming when everybody who's ever lived, ever ruled, ever been anybody, whether they like it or not, their knees will bow and their tongues will confess that he is Lord, that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And my prayer is, even so, come Lord Jesus. But until then, may we be under God's authority and under the authority of those people that he allows to be in authority over us, and shut up and pray. And let God change our hearts and change our country in that order. Let's pray together. And our Father, thank you so much that we pray to and serve the King of Kings on a throne that cannot be toppled and a dominion that cannot be overturned, that there is none like you, there is none above you. And we acknowledge, Lord, that our trust is not in any man or any woman except in the man Christ Jesus, who lived a sinless life, died on that cross, shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead to provide us eternal life and abundant life, and gave us specific instructions as to how we're to live as Christians, no matter where we live, in a pagan country, a quote-unquote Christian country. Father, the rules are the same. The principles, the directions are the same. Teach us to submit to your authority, Lord, and demonstrate that by the way we submit to the authorities around us. Father, there may be somebody listening today, here or beyond, that has tried to find something, somebody, some place, some possession, whatever it is, to fix everything. And they realize now that no amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of prosperity, no amount of power, nothing, Lord, can fill the emptiness that they find in their heart. And today their eyes have been opened, their ears unstopped, and all these stories they've heard maybe their whole life for the first time today, they realize that you truly are the Most High God, and that there really is no way to you but through Jesus, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and there's no way to get to you, Father, but by him. May somebody today just simply say, God, I quit. I can't do this anymore. I can't fight against you anymore. I can't be my own God anymore about me and my and what I've done. Father, it's about you and what you have done for me. I admit that I'm a sinner. I confess that. I need forgiveness. I cannot justify my past and my current behavior anymore. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on that cross, God and a man, shed his blood to pay for my sin, was buried and raised from the dead to purchase a place for me in heaven that he offers as a free gift. I accept the gift of eternal life. I accept the gift of this forgiveness of my sin. Make me clean from the inside out. Wash me in your blood. As weird as that sounds, God, I know now that I will never be clean apart from that precious blood of Jesus that was sacrificed on my behalf. Give me a clean slate, like being born all over again, a new start, and use my life, change my life, and use my life to change everybody around me, Lord, as you see fit. Father, you're the best, and we long for a day when we stand before that throne and cry out with the seraphim and those who have made it there before us, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And may that be the case in our own lives and homes and church today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. So many people like you tell us that Richard's unique way of boiling down God's truths and making his word clear and easy to apply to our daily life is what sets this program apart from everything else on your radio. It's been a beacon of honest and realistic ways to grow in our journey with Jesus. And just before we wrap up today, Pastor Richard has some urgent and important news to share.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis, and I just want to take a minute to kind of explain to you where we are and what's going on. Obviously, Jesus is the light of the world, but we're trying to figure out how to keep the lights on at Richard Ellis Talks. And that's where you come in. We have radio stations that provide the mechanism to broadcast it, and the time on there is not free. We have messages that we edit and put on the air, and that's what you hear. But to make all that happen, it requires money, and that's where you come in. We need your help. The listeners, that's all we got. Some of you have been listening for a long time. You pray for us. You're blessed by it. You refer us to other people. But it's time for you guys to step up and step in the game. So please let us hear from you. The world's in a mess and getting darker by the day. And we are trying to keep these lights on and keep proclaiming the good news of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So God bless you. Thank you for your support, for your prayers. And we look forward to hearing from you soon.
You can easily make a difference by going to the website richardellistalks.com. Just click on the simple and secure contribute page to become a valued financial partner. Please consider joining this essential effort in keeping the talks coming by literally keeping the lights on. Thank you for praying about this important need today. Your new gift is not just about keeping this program running. It's about maintaining a vital source of light and hope in a world that desperately needs it. The website, richardellistalks.com. And until next time, we look forward to come alongside you for more Richard Ellis Talks.